I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 15. We'll be spending the entirety of the lesson there this morning, Luke chapter 15. Luke 15 is one of the most valued chapters in the Bible. It's sometimes been referred to as the gospel in the Gospels. The original audience was a group of indignant scribes and Pharisees. Verses 1 and 2 says, "All the tax collectors, sinners drew near to hear him," to hear Jesus, "and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Sinners was basically a euphemism in the mind of the scribes and Pharisees for tax collectors, harlots, and those who would be customers of such. In this occasion, the Pharisees leveled an accusation against Jesus that he received, that he ate with sinners. Jesus then spends what we see as the rest of this chapter telling three parables to explain why he was guilty as charged. He did, in fact, receive sinners and eat with them. And so this chapter has three parables, but all of them have a common theme. And that common theme is God's compassion for the lost. These parables present a picture of God, a picture of his love, his compassion, his mercy, a picture of his desire to reach out to the lost. And the first picture is that of the Good Shepherd who seeks the lost sheep, verses 3 through 7. "He spoke this parable to them, saying, 'What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Sheep represented the major means of support for many Jews in that day. The sheep were wayward. The sheep were defenseless. They needed constant supervision. And this parable pictures the care of God for wayward people. The second picture is that of a woman who lost a coin, verses 8 through 10. "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she's found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." When a Jewish girl married, she began to wear a headband of 10 silver coins to signify that she was now a wife. You might say it was the Jewish version of our wedding ring. It would be considered a calamity for her to lose one of those coins. Palestinian houses were dark, and so she had to light a lamp to search for this coin. It was a small coin, as I understand, of little value to anyone except the one who possessed it, the woman in this instance. It was important enough for her that she searched diligently and that she rejoiced when she did find it, this seemingly unimportant little piece of metal. We may feel insignificant and unimportant in the eyes of God, in our own mindset, but our Father earnestly searches for each one of us. The third picture is the picture of the father of the lost son, verses 11 through 24. Then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal or wasteful living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went out and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." The young man in this parable rebelled against his father, and he did so to his own peril, to his own detriment, to his own harm. After tasting the fruit of sin, after tasting the consequences, he realized his foolishness, and he returned simply to be a servant. God wants us to know that his arms are open to all who repent and turn to him. And so Jesus used these three pictures to show why he receives sinners, to show that every human being is of equal value to him. The parables that we just looked at present a picture of lost humanity. In these parables, Jesus teaches that people without God are lost. It's interesting that in the parables themselves, Jesus didn't call these people sinners, the sheep, the coin, the son. He refers to them as lost. Verses 4 and 6, the latter part of verse 4, "Go out, will he not go out and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he comes home, he says, 'Rejoice with me.' Verse 6, 'I found the sheep was lost.' The lost coin, the lost son, my son who was lost is found." They were lost to the presence of the Heavenly Father. They were lost to the protection of the Heavenly Father. They were lost to the provision of the Heavenly Father. Being lost means, in a broad sense at least, being out of place. A sheep without the flock is out of place. Coin belongs on the chain. It's lost. It's no longer part of the chain. It's out of place. Being lost also means being out of service. The lost sheep was no longer of any value to the shepherd. The lost coin has no value to the owner because it's no longer present. Some people are lost in the same way that the sheep was lost. The sheep didn't deliberately run away. It just wandered off. Some people are like that. They simply edge away. They simply, step by step, wander off in the wrong direction. Some people are lost in the same way the coin was lost. The carelessness of someone else contributed to this problem. Many people have difficulty in their lives because of the failings or mistreatment of others. Many children have serious attitude and behavior problems because of how they're treated by their parents. Nothing that they did themselves that brought this on. Some people are lost in the same way the son was lost. He left with full awareness of what he was doing. He had no one to blame but himself for the difficulty in which he found himself. These parables reflect God's attitude toward lost humanity. The lesson of these parables is that God wants to reach out. He wants to reach out to all people regardless of what they've done. We have trouble with that concept, I'm confident. There are some people in our minds that we think maybe are unworthy of being reached out to. Such heinous attitudes and actions and behaviors. We could find ourselves struggling quite easily with this concept. Pharisees certainly did. The Pharisees certainly struggled with this. That's what this whole section is about. It's one thing to accept sinners. It's another thing to go out looking for them. The first two parables clearly teach a seeking God. Jesus was saying that God actually searches for lost sinners, searches for, if you will, the dregs of society, searches for, seeks for, longs for, reaches out to the outcasts, the ones that the scribes and Pharisees looked down on and criticized him so clearly for reaching out to them. In the third parable, the lost son, God didn't go out searching. That's just not the nature of the story there. But he did run out to meet the boy when he returned. Verse 20, the young man rose, came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And certainly contrary to the attitude of these scribes and Pharisees, these parables proclaim the joy of restoration for those sinners. In these parables, there's rejoicing when the lost are found. Jesus said, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Verse 10. We see a threefold pattern, therefore, in each of these parables. We see lost, found, and rejoice. As we talked earlier about kind of a broad meaning of being lost, we can flip that around when we talk about being found. To be found means to be back in place, to be reconciled to God. To be found means to be back in service, to be useful again. Life now has a purpose again. To be found means that you're out of danger. In the parable of the prodigal, the son was throwing his life away until he returned. His experience in the pig pen was the lowest place imaginable to a Jew. But when he came to himself, when he returned to his father, there was a great celebration. When the woman found the lost coin, she had a time of great rejoicing. When the shepherd found the lost sheep, he celebrated. He invited others to come and celebrate with him. All these parables teach us that God longs to have fellowship with us. In verse 5, we see when the shepherd found the lost sheep, he laid it on his shoulders, an act of compassion and love, and he took it home. This suggests that the saved sheep now enjoyed a place of privilege, a place of intimacy with the loving shepherd. And so Jesus is assuring us that he receives sinners. He's assuring us that they are important to him. He searches for the lost. He stands ready to receive anyone who returns to him. While the Pharisees repelled sinners, Jesus attracted them. The arrogant self-righteousness of the Pharisees can clearly be seen in the older brother in the third parable. You recall the son came home, the father rushes out to meet him, rejoices, wants to have a celebration. Then we're told in verse 25 and following that the older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and said, "What does this mean?" They said, "Your brother's come home, and because he's received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." The older son was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he said to his father, "These many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you neither gave me a young goat. You never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours comes, who's devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." The father said, "Son, you are always with me. All that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found." Where God's happiness is, self-righteousness cannot come. The self-righteous think, if God is good to the sinner, then what's the benefit or what's the purpose of my righteousness? That was the attitude here. Why have I wasted my time being so good if you're going to reach out and extend yourself and be merciful and kind and gracious and compassionate to the sinner? Romans 3:23 tells us that we are all sinners. This despicable, contemptible accusation that this man receives sinners is true. And it's the only statement of hope for all mankind. The Son receives sinners. That's you and that's me. And He'll receive you this morning if you'll turn to Him in humility and penitence and seek Him on His conditions. Let's stand together and sing the song that's been chosen.